How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. If you're new to the channel, make sure to like and subscribe if you enjoy the video. And we're uploading every single day to make sure you guys are up to date on all your New York Yankees news. Today, we're talking about the infield. And my friends, the infield has been polarizing. It's been volatile, to say the very least. Even Anthony Volpe has going through a little bit of a cold stretch right now. We're going to talk about Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Oswaldo Cabrera, and of course, DJ LeMahieu, who was pulled from his rehab assignment yesterday after just one at bat with a sore right foot, and that's not good. He's going back to New York for more testing and further evaluation, and I think the expectation is we probably shouldn't expect to see him for the next couple of weeks. DJ LeMahieu, now 35 years old, certainly becoming a little bit more injury prone with age. Some unlucky situations like fouling a ball off your right foot does not help him at all. The rebounding from that is just more difficult because of his age. But, you know, Ryan, looking at this infield, what is your confidence in it at this point in time, though? I kind of feel like the Yankees are going to have to make a move at the deadline to reassure this group, whether it be somebody to, you know, help at first base, if it's a guy in our own system like a Ben Rice, or a third baseman to help offset the loss of DJ LeMahieu and help kind of fill that. So I know John Birdie is coming back from injury at some point in a couple weeks here as well, but do we really think John Birdie's a World Series caliber third baseman that's going to push us over the edge? Probably not. You know, what is your current evaluation of the unit? Do you think they're going to start to ramp it up, or do you think we're at some point we're going to need some above-average reinforcements?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, too early to tell what exactly the Yankees are going to need at the deadline, but I think given the concerns I had about third base entering the season, given the fact that still looking at third base, you're like, you know what I mean? Like, how much is Cabrera going to hold up? You know, I think the natural regression for him was just normal. Like, he wasn't going to be a 200 WRC plus hitter. Same thing for Volpe. Like, Volpe less concerned because I think, you know, the talent kind of speaks for itself. But, you know, you're not necessarily freaking out when a guy who has a 200 WRC plus and isn't a Juan Soto or an Aaron Judge or, a Shohei Ohtani or whoever may be, like, one of these generational offensive players when they start slowing down, because that's just expected. You know, even a guy like Mike Trout, like, if you remember, Mike Trout got off to, like, a crazy good start this season. And not that he's been bad, but, like, you know, he's had his ups and downs. And even last year, he kind of had a little bit of a slump. You know, I'm not really sitting here trying to compare these guys to Mike Trout or whatever. I'm just saying ups and downs is no one's immune to that. That might be more so, I guess, a comment made to kind of quell concerns about Judge, who I thought looked pretty good yesterday. Overall, though, as it pertains to the infield, you know, LeMahieu, I don't like, because, like, again, I feel like there is a point in time where I come off as overreactionary, and I think the point in time in which I would be saying a guy's season's over, or a guy this and that, on April 24th. You know, even the Rizzo episode, we were kind of just like, all right, you know, things are not looking good here, and the Yankees may have to look for a first baseman, but we at least I think you could say we know it's early. For LeMahieu, I mean, we thought he was going to start his rehab assignment Friday. Then they look at an MRI and they conclude he wasn't ready to start that rehab assignment. Then he gets one at bat on Tuesday, yesterday, strikes out looking, and doesn't play after that. And it turns out he has a sore right foot. I don't think it's healed. I don't think they should let him play until it completely heals. I don't care if that means you don't have him for the first half. If he's, because, like, here's kind of the thing, and I don't mean this to disparage Aaron Boone as a manager, disparage, you know, LeMahieu as a player, whatever it may be. Aaron Boone's going to play DJ LeMahieu every day when he comes back. If he's 80%, I don't want an 80% of DJ LeMahieu. He's not, you know, you'll take 80% of Aaron, like last year, you know, Aaron Judge probably like 80%, but you'll take 80% of Aaron Judge, right? Because it's still Aaron Judge. You're going to take 80% of Juan Soto. Otani's playing with a recovering UCL, but you'll take that version of him because he's Shohei Ohtani. Bryce Harper playing through the UCL tear or coming back from TJS early because he's Bryce Harper. DJ LeMahieu is not Bryce Harper. He is not an elite caliber player. 80% of DJ LeMahieu is a bad major league player. Let him fully heal. Let him fully have that foot come back. I know he wants to come back, that being LeMahieu. He wants to hurry things up. He wants to get back on the field. He's dying to play on the field. I'm not questioning the effort level of LeMahieu. I know he wants to be back on this diamond. If anything, I'm basically asking the Yankees and asking LeMahieu here, hey, man, you don't have to prove that you want to be here. I know these guys want to be here. The intensity these guys play with, you know, it doesn't look like they're pressing even when they're playing poorly. Like, you have Judge, Verdugo, and Soto in the outfield kind of, you know, figure out who they're going to throw a ball to the stands with the fans. You know, they look like a light, you know, kind of loose clubhouse. I think that's important, the ability to weather the storm when you're losing, all that stuff. But, you know, if you're LeMahieu, I know you want to get back in the action. This is a 16-8 Yankees team. Like, again, for all of the Yankees, like, you know, oh my God, is like the I guess you would say the sky's falling. You know, the Yankees are on pace for 108 wins right now. They're not going to win 108 games, most likely, but they're playing really good baseball. And I get that LeMahieu, it's tough to sit on the sidelines for that, or to sit on the bench and to watch it and not be a participant, but he's got to do what's best for himself. He's got to do what's best for the team. And Alex, I am fully on the train of what's best for him and the team is him waiting until he is completely healed. Not somewhat healed, not okay, not hobbling, fully, completely, no doubt about it, healed. I do not think he's ready to come back yet, and I think the Yankees are doing the right thing if they're going to be careful with him. I think they've been doing the wrong thing by having him try to play and having it, or not forcing him to play, but enabling him playing and letting him play through pain. He should not be playing through pain and being an 80% version of himself, because that's a bad baseball player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they need to make sure that DJ is fully healthy before they even considering bringing him back into the fold now. But in the meantime, this unit is really struggling. I mean, Rizzo had a good game yesterday. Gleyber Torres continues to struggle. I mean, this is an important year for Gleyber Torres, and I want to kind of stick on him for a second here. Torres' slugging metrics are down quite considerably. His strikeout rate is up about 11%. He hasn't had a home run yet. You know, James Rousen said, I think via the Athletic, that he feels like Gleyber is really close to getting back to himself. Just seeing a little bit more pitches, getting a little bit more experience this season, just kind of getting into the swing of things. I don't want to say I'm worried about Gleyber Torres, but I will say this. Gleyber Torres is known for his volatility. One year he's great, the next year he's not so great. The next year he's great, the next year he's not so great. This is not unusual for Gleyber Torres to have a down season or a relative to his previous campaign. Last year he had a 123 WRC plus. He was pretty solid. He had 25 home runs. Like, he was a good player. He was arguably our best hitter behind Aaron Judge when he was healthy. This year, you know, he's not hitting the same. His defense has been porous. I just don't think that we're going to see the 2023 version of Gleyber Torres, the one that we thought we were going to get, because, again, he's showcasing that he is a volatile player in terms of career production. This is a primary reason the Yankees have not even thought about extending him, right? They wanted to wait until after this year to even think about the idea of extending Gleyber Torres, and it's looking to be a good move, because right now Gleyber Torres is not the player that you want to be investing long term in 8 years and, you know, 20 million plus million per season. That's not the direction you want to go for a player like this right now, just to be quite honest with you. You need something a little bit more consistent. In fact, you know, Ryan, I'm going to throw out a crazy idea for you right now. Do you think that there's a possibility that the Yankees would think about trying to acquire a guy like Luis Arias from the Marlins if they're going to gut their team anyway? A couple games this season. They stink this year. Is there a world where the Yankees hit them up and say, you know, we got John Birdie from him before. You know, Arias has 1 year left of control. He's looking really good this year. He's one of the best leadoff hitters and, you know, batting champions in the game. Is that a player you think the Yankees could potentially look for and maybe flip Torres for pitching to a team that might need a second baseman? You know, kind of just flip-flop a couple of guys. You know, it's a total hypothetical. Gleyber Torres could turn things around tomorrow and be red hot the rest of the year. I don't know what's going to happen, but let's assume he's a little bit worse, maybe a lot of bit worse than he was last year. Do you think that there is an avenue for the Yankees to potentially try to upgrade there big time?
Yeah, so here's kind of how I view Arise. So he started off the year like super cold, like ice cold. He had literally had one hit through his first 15 play appearances and no walks, or one walk, excuse me. But then since then, he's hit 318, 120 WRC plus. It's like, okay, that's the Luis Arise, you know, that you're used to seeing. One of my biggest issues thus far with Arise is he's maybe been the worst defensive second baseman in baseball. I know Yankee fans in the comment section are going to be like, oh, well, no, it's Gleyber Torres. It's like, no, Luis Arise is -7 defensive runs saved in April. Like, it's been... he is a especially bad defender there. And I'm a little bit concerned about the defensive profile. But offensive, we were talking strict offense. I think the profile works because I think the ballpark fits him. I think he's always been able, I think Yankee Stadium's always been the one ballpark where you could envision Luis Arraez consistently being like a 10 to 15 home run hitter, and improving the game power without changing the approach. Now, I will say too, I think the Yankees need more pop in whoever they add. I don't know. I think they need somebody with a little more pop. The question is just like, who is that guy? Now, I think third base is still the position I'm looking at and saying, you know, that's a position where the Yankees could improve. I also kind of wonder, and this is maybe me being pessimistic still, I'm not all the way back on Rizzo yet. Like, he hit one home run yesterday. That's great. I want him to play well because if he plays well, the Yankees are going to play well. And if the Yankees play well, blah, 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 we win the World Series, all that stuff. But kind of an idea I want to float out there. I kind of hope, and this is, again, this is some serious hating, Alex. This is some grade A hating on my end, but because of their team social media admin, I don't think it's that unjustified. I hope the Cleveland Guardians stink, dude. Like, I hope they find a slump. I hope they're awful because Josh Naylor, man, that's the guy I look at and I go, he's a psychopath. Did you see the play where he, like, hits a home run? He spikes the bat off of his head. He hits himself in the helmet with a bat. Like, there is something wrong with him. And I mean that in the best way possible. He's rocking the baby after hitting a home run off of Gerrit Cole. He hits this grand slam in Chicago and then starts running into the dugout screaming, and he fires his helmet. Like, I'm telling you, like, he's like 99 miles an hour. Like Gerrit Cole, Luis Seal-Velo into the dugout, into the club, kind of like the downstairs area. This guy's a psychopath. And I like psychopaths. I think psychopaths makes for good baseball players. You know, for the most part, like, kind of like in the fun, like, oh, he just celebrates after home run. Like, Gerrit Cole's not a normal person. You want to tell me that Gerrit Cole do you see the way the guy eats bananas? The guy's crazy. And that's why he's so good. You think Max Scherzer's got all his screws together? That guy's crazy. He's amazing, right? Like, I think crazy players are, you know, I think there's something too that makes them fun. But when it comes to like trade targets or whatever, I'm going to stand firm that I'm fine at second base. I really do think Labor's going to get it going. I think this is more so a bad month than a bad year. Again, you kind of look at like, it, and shout out Fireside Bets, you know, you guys should follow us on all our socials. But if we're looking at kind of like betting here, right? You know, if you look at odds and probability, because that's what we care about the most when we're making bets, the odds of Gleyber Torres having an 80-something WRC plus or 70-something WRC plus from this point forward is super low. The odds of him being a good hitter, though, is pretty high because every projection system universally believes he will have a bet. He will start playing better. Even if you get a 110 WRC plus version of Gleyber and it's not the breakout offensive season we were hoping for, that's still a good hitter, right? I still look at a position like first base, third base, the corners are where I'm like, I'm not too sure. We talked about this in the offseason. We were like, Rizzo, LeMahieu, you want insurance there because they're older and because they could get hurt. And like, we kind of seen Stanton. I think Stanton's had a pretty good, strong year. And overall, like, I'm pretty excited about what Stanton's done. And, you know, I think he's going to have a pretty solid year based on what he's done so far. And kind of the initial adjustments, which I did write about. But like, I look at first and third and I say, okay, those are kind of where the old guys are. LeMahieu's coming back from a foot injury. I don't even know if he's coming back. You know, looking at Rizzo, it's like the power is still not being there. I look at those two positions as like my positions of worry. And you have internal depth. Durbin, Vivas could both help you out at second if needed. They're primary second baseman. I don't think you have any organizational depth at third. So that's where my concerns are. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. The Yankees are, like, so stacked at the outfield position with youth. It's interesting because, like, what do you do? I know Yorbit Vivas just came back. I like Yorbit Vivas. I don't know if he's going to be your long-term starter, but I'd like to see him put in a good year of work and like maybe fight his way onto this into this equation. Oswald Peraza, I think he might be cooked personally. I think you're probably in the same boat as I am on that one. So the Yankees, maybe there's a world where they try to leverage one of their outfield prospects, like because they have a bunch of them. Maybe they try to leverage one for a middle infielder, a guy like a second baseman or a third baseman. It's possible. You know, I kind of wish we had Trey Sweeney right now. I think it's fine because we ended up moving him for someone decent. I forget who he ended up being moved for.
It was a direct swap, I think, him for Vivas alongside Gonzalez. The problem is just that Vivas got hit in the face. Literally yeah. The last day of spring training, if you remember, Gonzalez gets hit in the face in Mexico on the same day. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a BP, like Vivas just gets smoked in the face. So an orbital fracture, a jorbital fracture, I guess you want to call it.
Jorbital.
Dude, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, and you feel worse for Peraza, because as you mentioned, like, he would be in this conversation, and look at what Cabrera's done with playing time. Like, I'm not saying Cabrera and Peraza are comparable players, but, like, we were, like, I don't remember looking at Cabrera and going, oh, yeah, he's got it. He's so good. It was like, oh, he had a bad spring, and, like, he turned it around late in spring. Peraza had a bad start to his spring and then turned it around and didn't get a chance to turn it around. I feel the most of Peraza right now. We're talking about all these infield spots. It pains me that the guy's hurt. Like, I don't care what you guys think about him, but, like, he didn't even get a chance. The guy, not that he didn't get a chance, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like, poor dude. It's just, guy has, he can't catch a break, man. He really can't.
No, he cannot catch a break. It's really unfortunate. But, you know, I had to pull up Trey Sweeney's stats just to see if what we were missing out on. And Trey Sweeney's been pretty damn good, unfortunately. Yeah, his strikeout rate's at 25.7%, but he's just adjusting to the AAA level. He's hitting 259 with a 406 OBP, 395 slugging, 110 WRC plus, is a homer and 10 RBIs. He's adjusting well. He's a walk rate of nearly 19%. Unfortunate, you know, hopefully Orbit Vivas steps up and has a good situation here. He's a lefty, and the Yankees wanted a lefty, so, you know, you kind of get that. I mean, Trey Sweeney was also a lefty for what it's worth, but 24 years old. I think Orbit is 22, if I'm not mistaken. Is he the same? He's 23, so he's 1 year younger. Man, Victor Gonzalez, he kind of gave up the two-run home the other day. Was it the Rays, I believe? Or was it
shut Oakland? Down against the Rays, Oakland. All right. Home run to the A's. Just,
yep.
Because that's how you scripted it, right?
Like, ugh, it's ridiculous.
That game really pissed me off. That game was awful. That's the worst loss of the season. Like, I don't care. Guardians game, we scored 7 runs and Volpe had like a 3-hit day. I still won that day. That shutout against the A's was like the most pathetic performance I've ever seen in my life. Like, that was like, turn off the TV, don't pay attention to baseball, let's go Knicks kind of thing. Like, just pretend the Yankees don't exist for a little bit kind of game.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It's like, the Yankees are kind of a polarizing team right now. Either their offense is going to show up or they're not. The pitching has been forced to pick up the slack, but, you know, right now I do feel like this team needs their infielders to step up. We could use a little bit more health, that's for sure. But nonetheless, we still are, you know, maintaining pace. We're still winning games. That's all that really matters. But these are issues that if they don't get better, it could end up becoming a detriment to our World Series aspirations, guys. But always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe, as always. We'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.